The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And we're back here and Analyze This. Before I bring in my 9 o'clock guest, I want to give each member of the board an opportunity to say a closing word, because you know this cruise hospitality is a special thing. So I want to start with you, Member Hendricks. Closing thoughts?
Closing thoughts. Thank you so much, Neville, for allowing board members to be a part of your show. Three things. Number one, in our 9 to 12 curriculum, we have VI History with Civics, World History with Caribbean History, and U.S. History. Yeah. And then in terms of the libraries and literacy, we're talking about public libraries, but we also need to do more with our in-school libraries.
Oh, correct.
It needs
correct.
To be a place where our students are visiting on a regular basis. And finally, we're asking parents and our students to complete the survey so that we can know how you feel about public education, and then we can come up with policies or decisions that are meaningful to our students in this territory. Thank you so much for allowing us to be here. I guess your Crucian hospitality was great.
You're welcome. Member Siku, out of the rock, out of the capital.
Yes, so the capital is, power has been restored.
Well, they heard you on Analyze This, baby, you know what I'm saying?
So. Right. And so we want to encourage people, because I know that was our main purpose, but we got into a lot of important topics also, but we want to encourage the students and the parents to please make sure they fill out the surveys. The board is trying to make decisions based on data, and so this is important. This is an opportunity for our students and parents to have input. We're talking about the curriculum. We're talking about the children's education. So it's very important that we have this survey completed and that we have it completed timely. The board has made sure that the survey itself too is going to be translated into two different languages that we find are dominant here right now with our student population, which is Spanish and the Haitian Creole, and to also provide assistance to those persons in enabling them to be able to complete the survey and to be a part of it. So we're trying to make sure that everyone is included and that everyone has a voice and that they're able to complete that survey. And so we just want to make sure that they are participating in that. And I think there is also our board numbers and every contact information is listed if someone is not able to complete their survey and would like to do so.
In three languages.
And she mentioned that as well.
Oh,
and
I forgot what, English?
Spanish
Creole. Yeah, the Creole,
yeah.
No, she mentioned that,
I just didn't say English because I thought that was...
That's given. Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, it's my understanding that you had a loss in the family, so condolences to you and your family. Member Siku, Attorney Siku.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, and God's blessing during this time of bereavement. Boss Terrence T. Joseph, good to see you, man. And,
first of all, I was like coming here. I don't think I have ever missed your show because I find it quite expensive, rewarding.
Oh, thank you very much, sir.
That you come and you discuss these issues.
Mm-hmm.
We have one.
Just for you to remind them about scholarships.
Right now, I think our district in St. Thomas St. John is lagging way behind. And we don't know what is happening because usually those students are on time.
Mm-hmm.
This year, it is kind of lagging. So the St. Thomas district must try to see...
The capital.
Try to get the thing.
No. You cause it, Member Siku. So what you're saying is applications for scholarships
are not where
they should be, right?
Exactly.
Okay, good. So we want to send out a word to the students over in the St. Thomas, St. John district. Historic, comparatively speaking, I think that's the term we're looking at, right?
Right.
that we're using here, compared to previous years, the application numbers are not where they typically are. So we don't know what the problem is. So if you're listening on St. Thomas, parents, what have you, let your children know that to apply to get a grant and loan if possible, right? That's what we're referring to, right?
That's correct. Okay, I love coming here.
No, we're going to love having you on, man. And I was bragging about you, man, because we're talking to Dennis Brough. He was a teacher at your school. He mentioned you. And I said, you know, you did something 1 year before you became superintendent. You retained over half of a graduating class because they didn't meet the standards.
Yes, absolutely.
And you were not in the business of, what was it?
Get free stuff to go someplace.
But it's a term that they use, social advancement or whatever it is, right?
It was 45%.
45%,
Time that failed.
Yeah.
And they all had to go to summer school.
Summer school, yeah.
They were not going a place. They were going to summer school.
In other words, from August to May now, because it used to be September to June,
right.
Learn your lesson, right? Focus and get a job done.
And that was your decision.
Yeah, of course. You're talking about the new school year.
And that's what we needed in order to be close.
I appreciate it. I get beat up for that, though.
But you know
something? Sometimes you got to take a little pain for Moses. Derek told you, said for gainance, right? For gainance, right? So we good. Thank you, Board of Education members, for joining us this morning. Continued success and looking forward to getting the results and talking with you in a month's time.
Absolutely welcome.
Okay, good. You got it. That's Winona Hendricks, Terrence T. Joseph, and Attorney Nandi Siku, all Virgin Islands Board of Education members. And that were present here today, and other members are Dr. Kaiser Carwood, who's the chairman, Vice Chair Emanuela Perez Cassius, Shauna Richards, Judy Gomez, Ira Lockhart, and we do have one vacancy. And Governor, if you got to ask the administrator to step up or somebody to fill that voice, so St. John could have a voice, so be it. Okay, because we need St. John to be on the board. Okay, thank you very much to all of you. Okay, appreciate you being here. Before we bring in Zach Zook and Miss Letsum. Right? I want to give some programming notes for tonight. You know how we do it here. It is Wednesday, March 20th. PBS NewsHour kicks off our primetime coverage. Good to see you. Okay? And boss, good to see you, Terrence Joseph. Right? From 7 to 8, we got an edition of Nature. From 8 to 9, who we got on Nature tonight? Explore the relationship between humans and horses, which is almost as old as civilization. You know, I got a smile on my face for that one, right? Then we got Nova, a two-hour edition of Nova. Explore the bizarre history of the poles from milestick ice sheets to warm polar forests, okay? And you heard our weather guy promoting that this morning as well, right? That's from 9 to 11, and I'm important company from 11 to midnight. You know why I'm important comes on 11, right? Got time turn forward. 10 days ago. So we're back on Eastern time, away from Atlantic. So once again, thanks to Board of Education. Let's transition. We got an Arts Wednesday edition today. And my good friend Zach Zook from the 81C studio over there in St. Thomas. I'm sorry for keeping you holding, my brother, but glad to have you on the line. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hello.
Hey, Zach. How are you doing?
Hey, good. Good morning.
Yeah, man. Glad to have you on. And you got Tia Grimm. Let's some with you this morning as well.
Grimm is in the house at 81C, Charlotte Amalie.
Okay, good, man. Good morning, Grimm. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing well. So, Zach, what's going on? How's 81C?
81C is good. We're extremely busy. We've got a lot of activities happening here, a lot of events. Grimm is here now for, I think, about 2 weeks. We're doing pop-ups, right? A pop-up for till the 29th. So
how'd that come about?
I'm going to let Grimm explain that one.
Yeah, man. Good morning, Grimm.
Hey, morning. What's going on, man? Thank you for having me.
We're good. How are you? Tell us about your relationship with 81C and how the pop-up came about and it's going to be in effect for the next 2 weeks.
Okay, so it originally popped up with, I saw an Instagram post of his previous show with Sin Coy, And I look at the pictures and I was like, wow, this person is talented. And I just saw like a very safe space for artists, you know, advertising their work. So I took the leap of faith and I DM'd 81C. I didn't know who it was or who owned it or anything. And Zach responded. And he checked out my work. We exchanged numbers, and then the rest is history. We kind of just built some off that connection.
That's what I'm talking about. And Zach, that's what you're looking for at 81C, right?
Well, I love that social media can build bridges between other islands and through artistic communities. You know, people communicate on a whole nother level now, and it's nice to see that translate into geographic, you know, events. And I think Grim's actually serendipitously moving over to St. Thomas soon. Isn't that right?
Yeah, man, I'm moving over here. So, I mean, I wouldn't say that I got better food than Tola, but I will make do over here.
Well, you know, you could talk that talk between Totola and St. Thomas, because I really can't compete with St. Croix. So let me just get that clear right off the bat. Right?
I never mentioned St. Croix. I never mentioned them.
I know. But so because we are, you know, the creme de la creme as relates to culinary skills here in the Virgin Islands. I just want to get that clear, like I was saying, St. Thomas and Totola and St. John. Claire. Okay, so
I don't know.
No, I'm just having some fun. Even if it's true, I'm just having some
yeah,
fun.
Man.
So, Zach, the last time I've been to the studio, I think it was in October-ish, somewhere around there. Cy Croix.
Yep.
Yeah, she had a display, and you had someone from Tortola with that. That was Grim, or that was another lady.
Say it again?
No, so there was somebody from Tortola that was connected with that.
So that was Angel Fred.
Angel Fred. Okay, there we go.
Shout out to Angel.
Yeah.
Solid volunteer of ours, yeah.
Okay, cool. That went well. That lasted from like, was it October or November into late December?
Yeah, so Psych Roy, her show opened October 6th and ran into the new year. It was a phenomenal show, huge impact.
No, Grim, what kind of artist, what kind of art you into?
So I'm a multimedia artist, meaning that I would use different mediums like acrylic, oil. In terms of visually, I would say I represent a lot of different vibrant colors, things that connect to our culture. And I mix it with like a little urban as well as like to make it like fine art.
That's what I'm talking about. And yeah. Zach, you're like a repository for all these types of innovative and creative art forms. What's that like dealing with a Grim, with how they see things that we probably won't see?
Well, everyone's so different, and I think one of the greatest gifts of operating a space that is really a platform for talent and for expression, that you learn, you keep learning from everyone that you work with. I think that's true for a lot of creative platforms and just in the arts in general. So, you know, you have to stay open. You also have to remember, I think, the standards of your platform, and you have to be open to accepting the standards of the artist platform that whoever you're working with. So it's different every time. There's you know, there are common threads that flow, but it's a great industry to be in. The arts are just wonderful. Would you agree, Grim?
I definitely agree. I would like to see Neville's face. I want Neville come and see his art here himself. I want to put the face to the voice.
She's going to paint you.
I wear a fedora now. In my old age, I like to rock a fedora. And I got some braids and all that stuff. So I actually surprised Zach and Joseph when I came over to the opening of the Cy Croix display. They didn't know that the day that they were talking to me,
I had no idea.
They didn't know that I was actually traveling over later that morning. So I was containing myself, because normally when you're going to meet someone, you always let them know, you know, I'll see you later. So I had to fight it off and not say that on the air, you know what I'm saying? So when I finally showed up that night, you know, I was well received. Y'all treated me like family. So, you know, 81C got a special place in my heart. You know what I'm saying? Zach, so I appreciate that.
My.
You know, so
that's really nice and generous of you.
And Augustine, right? Augustine Holder's a part of that.
Augustine was there that night. I think we were all hanging out.
Nah, and then I came back on Monday. I was just freaking out because elderly retired teachers had came to see the display, and they didn't know that I was gonna be there, but they had heard about it on my show. So I felt kind of bad because they were like, "Oh my God, Neville James is here," you know, and. You know, but that was cool. But y'all got a nice following with arts. Zach, I had no idea that our young people, and when I mean young, I'm talking like our 20s and early 30s, that was a nice turnout. That y'all got something going on over there in St. Thomas.
It's proven. It's proven, and we work with so many younger artists. That we're seeing these crowds come out to people. It's very encouraging. I think when we first started, we couldn't really gauge the amount of creative talent or creative interest that there was, because a lot of artists are quiet, they work on their own, and there are not a lot of venues that are promoting or celebrating the arts outside of, you know, movie theaters, and there are a couple galleries and stuff, but, you know. So I feel like to build what we've built here specifically will and has inspired other people to open dynamic businesses and do just more creative things and live that way of life. I hope so.
No, we got somebody else from your network that joined us. Good morning.
Oh, I think Joseph called in.
Good morning. This is Joseph.
Hey, Joseph. How you doing? Glad to have you on.
Good. I'm great. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, man. How you been?
I've been great. We've got a wonderful exhibition of artwork. I'm doing great.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So talk about your expectations for Grimm and her display taking us to the end of the month.
Okay. Yeah. It's interesting because you can gauge the success of a show through various means. For example, I remember when we hung up the show and we saw the art on the wall for the first time, I'm like, yes, this is a good show. This is good art. That would be the first. And then sales are also always a good indication of a show. And again, successful on that too. But in my opinion, the true success of an exhibition is its ability to resonate with an audience. The ability for a show to resonate with the audience. When people come in, if there's a connection between the artwork and the individual, that is the sign of a successful exhibition of artwork.
So let me stop you right there. Let me stop you right there. Could we take a break, and we'll pick it up right where you left off with respect to what is indicative of a successful display and artwork. We'll take a break. Talking with Joseph Hughes, Zach Zook, and Graham Letsamota Tortola. Be back right after this.
Bank of St. Croix has something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
As the news gets more complex and changes through the day, you need more than just a quick headline check. Here and Now keeps you connected to your world between Morning Edition and All Things Considered, as the news and the people shaping it are changing in real time. I'm Robin Young. Follow along on Here and Now, NPR News weekday afternoons.
From 2 to 4 on WTJX-FM, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Hi, I'm Peter Sagal. You spent the week listening to the news. Don't you think you deserve to show off what you've learned on Wait, Wait, We Give You a Chance to Impress Your Friends with your knowledge of international incidents, political gaffes, and the latest advancement in German nudists? You'll be the life of the party or the death. Either way, you'll make an impression and you can thank Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
These icebergs are amazing.
Journey to the icy ends of the Earth.
It just looks like Mars.
Where the secrets of the past...
We're on a beach.
We're on a beach 3 million years ago.
...hold the clues to our future.
This place is so amazing.
This is the stuff that gives us a glimpse into a past, warmer world.
Humans are geology. We are impacting this planet.
Polar Extremes on Nova.
Tune in March 20th at 9 p.m. on WTJX TV Channel 12.
And we're back here on Analyze This. It's Art Wednesday. We got Zach Zook from the 81C studio, along with Joseph Hughes and a Tortola artist, Tia Grimm. Let some joining us. Tia has a display at the 81C studio, and it's going to be in effect up until Sunday the 31st.
What? Turn back on the air and I didn't even know. Oh, you got to use the bathroom.
The display going to be good through next week, Sunday? Sunday, March 31st, or a little bit later? A little bit longer?
Grimm's show is up until the 29th of March. We're open 12 to 8 every day, okay. Monday to Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday, we're closed. We do Sundays now. We just opened Sundays, which is really cool. We're calling it our Sunday service. So Sundays we're open 12 to 5,
okay,
and we do live music with Paige Turner and some other things. So Monday to Friday and Sunday are the days to see this show. Just one funny anecdote, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
So for like 2 weeks before this show went up, Grimm's joking about stealing all her art back after it sells, and I can't really make sense of it, but then we started talking about art heists. I was like, okay, we're going to make a movie when you come. We're going to make a movie. We're going to shoot a little clip where we stage a heist, and Joseph's the security guard, and you take him out, come in, and you steal the work. And then I get this call that's like, hey, from a movie crew saying, hey, can we use your space to shoot film, the scene is an art heist. This is completely serendipitous, completely separate situation. So last Tuesday we rented a space to a movie crew that was doing an art heist scene, but I thought it was kind of uncanny and strange that those things would somehow coincide.
Yeah, so, man. Yeah.
Grimm is in the stars with us.
The art heist stars aligned.
Yeah. It's weird. Yeah.
Definitely
yeah.
Really think about it, right, Neville? If you buy a painting, but then I steal it back, but you didn't know I stole it back until I told you I stole it back.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me something. You don't know the value of things until it's gone.
Yeah.
Now that it's gone,
yeah.
And say I'm completely delusional, but that's what it takes to be successful. I tell you, okay, in order to get this painting back, you pay $1,000. Now you got to pay $2,000. What if I found somebody that would really buy back their own painting?
Grim, you gonna get yourself in trouble or no?
What if someone gave you the painting back?
There we go.
What if someone
like a pay it forward
it?
Type thing?
There we go.
Well,
there we go.
Well, if they do that, it sucks for them because I'm selling it to somebody else.
Joe, you were talking about that you get to that point where you realize that what you're doing is touching people. Elaborate on that, if you will.
Yeah, definitely. You know, as I probably said before, you know, I'm very much of the opinion that a piece of artwork, in this case a painting, is really completed when it's received, when it's seen, when it's on view, when there's an audience for it. You know, there's a reciprocity between an artist and an audience that exists. And in this case, and in my opinion, an indication of a successful exhibition of artwork, and good art, really, is its ability to resonate with an audience, with a spectator, with a viewer. And in this case, over the course of the past couple of days, weeks, to see people's reaction and response, an emotional reaction to the work, has been extremely rewarding. And in that case, and by my definition, this is a very good exhibition.
Well,
thanks.
That's what I'm talking about. Don't bawl on the show, Glenn. With all that art heist thing you're talking, don't bawl on the show now.
Right. 1 minute at keeping, 1 minute
at
crying. Oh, Lord.
Right. Jokes.
Well, you know, it got a lot of people who teething when they get catchy, they'll start to cry, you know what I'm saying? So that's it. Yo, Joe, you're from Newport, right? That's Rhode Island?
Yeah. Yes.
And Zach, you from Brooklyn, right? You from Brooklyn?
Yes, right? I grew up in Brooklyn, yep.
Grew up in Brooklyn. Graffiti, yep. What's the deal? Graffiti, I think, was born in the boroughs. I don't know which borough, maybe in the Bronx or in Brooklyn, right?
Style Wars,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So why do you think quote-unquote, violating as it is legally, it was graffiti was accepted socially?
Clearly the
art was brilliant. I mean, I know that, you know what I'm saying?
Impression.
But but there's something about graffiti in particular on certain trains, like the white trains, that made it so acceptable because it reflected a part of New York City. Why do you think it was accepted?
Well, I think it wasn't accepted just as much as it was. You know, I also think that it's quite a social activity, you know, compared to a lot of other art forms. And that really brought a lot of community together in regards to younger artists at the time. I think also New York City at that time was crazy, right? Like, I wasn't alive. I was born in 84.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that whole crazy graffiti thing was kind of scaled down by the time I had abstract thought.
I think that was a 70s thing, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, but the influence it had globally, like, I'm doing this project now, right, where I'm going around to different cities throughout the world and I'm doing photography portraits of street art. Mm-hmm. It's for a book series project that I'm working on, right? And it's so great. I love graffiti. I love street art. And we're kind of in this place in the world where it's balanced and accepted more than ever, right? Would you agree?
Yeah, I think I want to explain to the public why I asked this question is because there's so many murals now, right? Murals are a global thing now, right? And graffiti, you know, whether indirectly or directly, that actually was an influence. To murals, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it was graffiti, and in many cases, it was with the trains. They were mobile and they were moving, but and murals, you know, they're pretty much stationary. But they played a part in how, you know, you're right that it wasn't accepted, but it was also accepted at the same time, you know.
And there's a lot of risk associated with putting that art up because, you know, what's stopping someone from coming along and painting over it? There's kind of this inherent boldness to it. It's also really annoying for a lot of people who don't appreciate, you know, art to be put up in public places like that. So there's the legal dispute or whatever. But overall, it's an interesting conversation and an important one.
Joe, the beauty of it is that art isn't limited to canvas.
It's not.
It's an artist expression.
Go right ahead. Elaborate some more from the perspective of an artist.
Who, me?
No, Joseph, and then you.
Oh, Joseph.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, in my opinion, yeah. Graffiti is an art form because it's an expression. All art is, in my opinion, is an expression. It's an emotional expression by the artist. Essentially, this is what the human condition is like for me, and I'm going to express it. And I guess to circle back to the topic of graffiti, what's so special about graffiti is because it's temporary. What train could be tagged today will be painted over tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So the fleeting element of it makes it even that much more precious.
Wow. Well, that's an awesome perspective.
Yep.
Yeah. Grim, I know you want to jump in on this one. Talk a little bit about that through the eyes of an artist.
Yeah, I definitely agree with Joseph 100%. It is a form of expression. And just to add on to that, to me, graffiti gives you a sense of freedom as well. Because just like Zach and Joseph said, you know, you can tag something today, tomorrow you go back to the same place and somebody else tag it. And I feel like when you just have the sense of, okay, I'm just going to keep going and tag as much as I can, even though some of it might be overlaid, you kind of have this sense of like, kind of like a subconscious effect that it attaches itself to you to just keep going, to just keep doing regardless if somebody going to see it or it's going to be on like a moving object, or you're just going to keep doing it.
You know, I have a great appreciation for art, you know, having sat in this chair and talking to many artists, because folks are impressed with the end product, but they don't. I don't want to speak for people. There's a lot of work to get to that end product, Zach Zook.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
For sure.
And that's where a greater appreciation comes in, because, you know, what started out as a blank paper or a blank sheet of canvas has now turned into something that touches people. Zach, Grim, and then Joseph. Zach.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm like locked about on this Banksy concept right now. I can't stop thinking about it in this moment. Are you aware of that Banksy piece that sold at the auction house and was then shredded and everybody?
Yeah.
So like, right after the mallet hit the thing or the table or whatever, the art destroyed itself, you know?
Half destroyed itself.
Sorry, that doesn't really relate to the question you were asking.
No. In a way, it does, because look at all that work, and like you put in all this work, and in an instant, it could be gone.
It could be gone or changed.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not. Maybe it's not totally gone. Maybe it just increased in value, right?
Yeah. Well, you're right, because in this case,
we were just talking about that.
Yeah. In this case, right? That piece. From something that happened in 2018, by 2021, it was worth exponentially more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Five. So, I'm reading a story here on NPR, right? Right. It was an iconic Banksy moment, right? 2018, the girl with balloon piece was sold at an auction for $1.4 million. This 2018, right? By 2021, right? It was expected to go for between $5 to $8 million. $1.4 to $5 is like 3.5 times value. $1.4 to $8 is like almost 6 times the value in a matter of 3 years. And that's what we spoke about that before, Zach. That's why one of the things, whenever I get artists on the show, I always tell them, make sure you get paid. I don't want to hear about what you're doing now, selling 150 years down the road. Of course, we won't be here by then, right?
Okay.
Like a Camille, like a Camille Pizarro deal from 18 whatever, selling in 1999 for $19 million. I mean, yo, Camille could have used 10% of that back in the day. You know what I'm saying?
And you know, honestly, Neville, that's one of the things I really am grinding so hard for. I want to get my flowers and my money
while I'm there, exactly.
And yeah, it's funny that you bring up the that you guys brought up the Banksy piece, because honestly, that's really, these artists, it's like other things combined with this thing, it drives me to want to be a successful artist, because I just say it all the time, I damn near delusional, but you have to be delusional to be a successful artist. Because you think he would have thought, hey, let me shred this painting or this piece and then it'll double the value. He probably thought of it, but if he told anyone, they wouldn't have saw the vision. Or, for example, in Art Basel, that banana that was duct taped to a wall, I don't know if you would see it, but it was a real banana that was duct taped to a canvas, and it sold for $250,000. And after it gets sold, the men take it off and eat the banana.
Mm-hmm.
Like, art is a weird thing, but you got to be delusional to make it work.
Now, you know, this particular piece of work, right? I think that's a good way to describe it, right? Originally was Girl with Balloon, and then it was renamed as a result of what happened, Love is in the Bin. You know what I'm saying? So, but that's a big issue, Joseph Hughes, because I want artists, they put in the work, they got to get that cash. They got to get that cash, period. But you're not working to get paid, but the reality is we live in a capitalistic society, and you need to get yours now.
Right. I mean, I think in the Banksy scenario, I mean, it's just the irony of all of it. And I'm of the understanding, and maybe you've heard this as well, that there was somebody in the audience of the auction room with a remote control of some kind that activated a shredder that was built into the frame. So through the destruction of the artwork, through the destruction of the painting, what was formerly Girl with Balloon, through that destruction or that transformation, it became exponentially more valuable through the destruction of the artwork itself.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't think that could not possibly have been intentional, in my opinion. I really don't think
it wasn't. It wasn't.
It couldn't be.
It's like a scarcity effect.
But because it became creative as a result of the, you know.
Well, here we are still talking about it. So it made an impact. It made an impression. So that in and of itself is the success of it. It's still relevant.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Zach.
I think it shows that the artist was willing to take that risk of if this backfires, I don't care, versus if it doesn't, I'm golden. You know, it really was brilliant, in my opinion.
You have to have that freedom,
and it worked.
But you know what? You know what it is, right? You know what it is, right? We're going to a break. It's the classic Alan Paulson saying, where you measure risk by the size of the reward. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I say that all the time.
And that's what happened. We'll take a break when we come back. I got an idea. I want to throw it at you artists and business people as relates to the Virgin Islands and something that we could do here to put us even more so on the map as it relates to art. We'll take a break. Be back right after this.
Said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. Wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
These icebergs are amazing.
Journey to the icy ends of the Earth.
It just looks like Mars.
Where the secrets of the past...
We're on a beach.
We're on a beach 3 million years ago.
...hold the clues to our future.
This place is so amazing.
This is the stuff that gives us a glimpse into a past warmer world.
Humans are geology. We are impacting this planet.
Polar Extremes on Nova.
Tune in March 20th at 9 p.m. on WTJX TV Channel 12.
Morning Edition takes you across this country and around the world with stories that keep you informed and the context to understand what matters. The news comes at you quickly, but we slow it down to examine each story from different angles and give perspective on what might happen next. A brand new day comes with new possibilities and a new edition of Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
You know a good story when you hear it. Makes you feel, laugh, think. Sometimes you get a little teary. I'm Scott Simon, host of Weekend Edition Saturday, and each week we bring you stories from around the country and around the world. Stories that help you learn, make you smile, catch you by surprise. Please join us every Saturday for the news you need and the stories you won't forget.
Weekend Edition, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands. Islands.
And we're back here at Adelaide's. This is Arts Wednesday. We got the good people from the 81C studio, along with the artists, Alda Tortola, Tia, Grimm. Tia, what are you saying? Where you got a nickname from, man? Grimm. That was actually one of my self-proclaimed names because the Fantastic Four. You guys remember that? Joseph and Thing, right? Thing. His name is Benjamin Grimm. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Yeah, so he used to say it's clobbering time. You know what I'm saying? So I like that. So when I see Grimm, I was like, one of my homies on the show this morning. So I appreciate that.
Also, that was Marvel.
Marvel, yeah. Yeah,
I remember.
He had the stretch. One of them was Stretch, right? They had a Stretch, a fire blower, Stretch, yep. Thing, and what a fourth one was.
The
yes. Yeah, that's a Fantastic Four, right? That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And of course, I got to reintroduce my man, Zach Zook. Good morning, Zach, out of Brooklyn. Now, St. Thomian. Can't leave again. Locked in. Got you down here. And then my man from the home of the International TELUS Hall of Fame, right? Newport, right? That's right. Joseph Hughes, right?
That is correct.
You guys got grass courts up there, man. What's it like playing on grass? What's it like looking at a grass court? Have you seen it? Have you been there?
Yeah, of course. It is the only professionally played tournament in the United States on grass.
On grass, yeah.
Yeah, but what's even cooler about those grass tennis courts is there's the Newport International Tennis Hall of Fame, and every year there's an outdoor screening at the Hall of Fame. And all the nets are rolled up, and everybody makes a picnic out on.
Wow!
That's an experience. If you ever have the opportunity, I highly recommend.
That's a July. That's a late July. That's after Wimbledon. Right after Wimbledon, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'm a sports junkie, so don't hold it against me. Okay. Speaking of which, hey, Zach and Joseph and me and Tia, you know, we're gonna yield to you guys now. Sotheby's. That's how you pronounce it, right? Sotheby's.
Sotheby's,
right? They got all these locations globally, right? But based on my research, and I was looking into this from last year, because I was thinking of things that we could do, and I was talking with an artist, right? Why not hold a auction, or can we be an auction location in the wintertime, which is ideal? You know, I'm looking at ways for us to maximize our earning potentials here in the territory. And the Virgin Islands, we could hold, you know, an auction down here. You know, they hold auctions all over the world, right? I would think an ideal location for auction would be one a weekend in the Virgin Islands, one on St. Croix, one on St. Thomas. What do you think about that?
That's cool.
I think that's a great idea.
You know, it doesn't have to be a large-scale auction, but... and not only that, what we could do is we could also, while they're here, promote the ingenious art that's actually of the Virgin Islands, because we got great artists here in the territory, Zach.
We do. We really do, more than many people recognize. And that extends to music, visual art, choreography. I mean, you know, you name it, anything. Food, right? It extends to food as well. Mm-hmm. Chefs, I know it's a little different than, you know, physical art that that is auctioned off. But so, what would be auctioned? What's the lineup?
Well, once we promote that the Virgin Islands is an auction locale, then you know we live in a technological world where everything is pretty much viral and internet. It's about promoting the location as an ideal place, not only to do business but to be during the wintertime. And we get artists to come down here because you know one thing I learned, you know, when I was early on in my senatorial career is the cruise ship passengers, right? The goal with cruise ship passengers is they're on a ship and they're here for 7 hours. But right. You want them to come back and spend, to be here overnight. Whether it be for a long weekend, a week, a couple of weeks, a month, what have you. And the Virgin Islands is arguably, because we're English speaking as opposed to Puerto Rico, right? Where they speak Spanish. An ideal vacation location for folks who are living on the mainland. You know what I'm saying? And if we could work with in conjunction with one of those locales in the Northeast to see if they could set aside a weekend for an auction here, you know, I think that could help us as well, because we got to promote the VI. We have an obligation to promote the Virgin Islands, Zach.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and you from Brooklyn, my man from Rhode Island, I mean, earlier I had on the Board of Education, you know, whenever we went to conferences, the Virgin Islands was always lumped with New Jersey, New York, Puerto Rico, and the Northeast. We were not lumped with the Southeast states. And that's because our history is connected to New York City. You know what I'm saying?
So,
go ahead.
Very much so, and I was actually just recalling yesterday that, like, my grandparents lived down here for 35, 40 years.
Uh-huh.
So my introduction to the Virgin Islands was as a baby, as a very small person, and then my family and I would come down once a year. My whole childhood, my grandparents were rooted here, and most of the year, like 10 months of the year, they were here or something, and then they were in the Northeast for September, October. But we would come down, so every Christmas in Brooklyn, you know, or often at Christmas in Brooklyn, people that were connected to my grandparents would stop by the house because
wow.
they were in New York seeing their family, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah, man.
That New York Virgin Islands connection, yeah, was really strong. So that had a big impact on me as a young person.
No, it's strong.
I think subliminally that made me feel like there wasn't much difference between the communities, you know. And St. Thomas itself reminded me of a little New York.
It is.
Yep.
It is.
So dynamic.
It is. Yeah. No, Grim. Right? Right.
Why are you laughing so
diabolical? I love the name, you know what I'm saying? Yo, Grim, you know what I'm saying? The connection between Tortola, the BVI, well, ain't just a connection. The natural connection between the BVI and St. Thomas and St. John. Speak about that through the perspective of a Virgin Island and an artist.
So, honestly, I feel like everybody know that the Virgin Islands could be way more connected than it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
In terms of artistry, in terms of just implementing one another overall. Because when you check the Virgin Islands, whether it's BVI or USVI, we can say stuff about each other, you know? We could talk about each other all day, but let an outsider come and talk about us, then we all band together and like beat them up, right? So I feel like you need to do something where it's like it's more events, where it's like, you know, oh, I live on Tortola, but St. Thomas, I could get invited over here where there's a safe spot, kind of like a pipeline program where people from all over the Virgin Islands could kind of intermingle with one another because, honestly, just like you said earlier, the artists in the Virgin Islands, it's amazing. And what I feel makes us more amazing or give us that little oomph is the fact that unlike the mainland, like America and stuff, we don't have things where it's just convenient, where we could just, well, for me at least, if I'm in Tortola, I can't just go to Home Depot and say, oh, I'm picking this up real quick or whatever. It kind of have to be like, I gotta make do with whatever I have in front of me. Mm-hmm. And the less you make do it and you can produce more, but there's no telling what you could do when you actually have things in front of you to help you, you know?
Now, let me ask you this question. Where you get this Yankee twang from?
Oh, so I used to live in New York.
That's what I'm talking
that's
about.
That's also a great connection that's
right.
I have.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
We swap stories.
Yeah. Yeah, what part of New York? Remember you got to pronounce it a certain way. What part of New York did you live in?
So I used to live in Westbury, Long Island, Nassau County.
No, I need you to stop. Right, because when I graduated from high school, and I went to College of Old Westbury, I lived in Westbury, New York.
Right.
I'm gonna read the light. I live right there on Sheridan Street in Westbury. You know what I'm saying?
Sheridan Street. I live on Sylvester Street.
That's what I'm telling you, man. Now you got me speaking. Now you got me speaking Yankee like you. That's what I'm telling you. You know what I'm saying?
You're right around the corner.
Right around the corner. Old Country Road, right over there next to the train tracks.
Oh my God.
You believe me now? Believe. That's what. Hey, Zach and Joe. You heard I pronounce that, right? Listen, no, I mean to cut you off. You heard me pronounce that, right? Zach and Joe. Believe. You believe me now? No V.
You know, Neville, I used to wait for that same train to pass so I could sneak out the house.
I'm telling you, man. And this is long before you were even with us. You know what I'm saying? This is 82.
Oh, my God.
And I was 18 years old and a culture shock because you're coming from the islands and you're moving to another island, but this is a city island. You know, people don't realize that Long Island, you know, is part New York City, Nassau County, and Suffolk.
Oh, yeah.
And that's like 10 million people right there. You know what I'm saying? So
especially
a lot of people.
If you're in Nassau, you're only about 20 minutes from, like, you know, Queens. And
that's
stuff.
Right. That's right. So it's all good. And Rhode Island, even though it's not an island per se, it's a border. It's a shoreline state, right? Right, Zach? I mean, right down Joseph, right?
Yeah, 400 miles of coastline.
400 miles of coastline, man. So that whole New England area there for those states, you know, when you're driving up to 95 and you're seeing all that. You know, it ain't nothing like driving in Connecticut. I don't know if you guys know this, right? Mm-hmm. And you're working your way past New Haven, and you're heading south, right? You're heading towards New York City, and you're passing nothing but port cities, right? Right on, Joseph? Westport, Southport, and you're seeing the smokestacks, and then you see the Long Island Sound. I mean, that's like living in the islands, man. You know, just, you know, you can see nature. And that's what I think artists have a great feel for nature, Joseph. That's just me. Because art is so pure, and as a result of that, the embracing of, you know, the purity and the pristineness of the environment is absolutely critical.
Yeah, I agree. it's funny you should mention that. I was just reading this book on Camille Pissarro, in fact, obviously from the tropics. But it was interesting when he was introduced to snow for the first time and how quickly he became enamored with snow and painting snow and really the reflection of the light off of the snow. So as far as the inspiration from the natural world, I mean, that's a pretty good example.
That's what I'm talking about. Somebody was just teasing me. She said, Grim, you bring out a Yankee and me. You know what I mean? So, right. But I was born in Manhattan, so I do have that ability to reach for that. Let's go over the details. Your display is in effect until the 29th of March.
Yes, sir. Show in times 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. at 81C Charlotte Amalie.
And that's on Strand Gata, right? Zach.
Strangada, right between Market Square and Waterfront. If you're on Waterfront, you see Moe's. You go down that street next to the lottery, and we're halfway to Market Square on the left.
And it's like a two-part studio, isn't it?
Well, so it's a double storefront on the ground floor.
Double
storefront. We have a wine and coffee bar, and that's where we do our pop-ups. And then we have another storefront next to that that serves as our main gallery, and that's where we do longer-run shows. So Grimm's show is in the bar. It's a pop-up show. It's beautiful. It's one of my favorites. Everyone should come out and see it.
That's what I'm talking about. And Joseph Hughes, one of my listeners, says a local auction is a great idea if we can get a climate-controlled environment as the St. Thomas Synagogue, right? For their exhibit of Pizarro's art several years ago.
Yeah.
So they had that.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
So if
we could do that, and just whatever we do, continue to promote the greatness of the Virgin Islands. You know, I have an obligation to do
well
that as a radio talk show. Hey, gentlemen and artists, my name's Sid Grimm, you know what I'm saying? glad to have you on. Continue success with your art. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you so much. And I know you won't forget the name either.
I cannot. And I'm gonna try to walk my way over there because there's a basketball tournament. There's a girls basketball tournament that weekend, which is Easter weekend. So I'm trying to walk my way over there, so I'll try to get in there to see your thing.
Excuse me. I'll look out for a guy with a fedora with some
Fedora with the braids, man. That's me. You know what I'm saying? Hey, Joe. Always nice talking. Thanks for calling in. You know what I'm saying? Appreciate that. And Zach, you know, I got to thank Zoe Zimmet for hooking us up back in the day. And, you know, the friendship is forever. So thanks a lot.
She's the only other ZZ I've
That's met. What I'm talking about. Z-double. Yeah. We call her Z-double. Yeah. Yeah.
So, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure.
You got it. For sure. All the time.
Thank you.
That's Joseph Hughes and Zach Zook from the 81C Studio, and of course Tia Grimlet, the artist out of Tola. She's in Iraq now doing some work and do a little thing in Westbury. You know what I'm saying? That was stomping ground, you know what I'm saying? Yo, wet behind the ears, 18-year-old think you know everything. And, you know, that was some good times. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, great show today. Thank you, Marisol. Thank you, Zoe, for hooking me up with 81C from back in the day. Thanks to Jamar, my man on the wheels. You know what I'm saying? On the board. All right? And thanks to the audience. The greatest thing about this show is my audience, for sure. Seriously. You know what I'm saying? And the board of education was good in the first step. I'm looking forward to bringing them back. I have to do the survey. Parents, get involved, knock out that survey, right? Same thing with the children, so that we have a feel for how you feeling, and then we can make the adjustments going forward, okay? And the administration as well, Department of Education. Talk to you tomorrow. Be good and be safe. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
There are many complex issues that arise in our territory.
Comes with the Territory with Leslie Comision.
Join me, Leslie Comision, for a breakdown of political issues facing our territory, one conversation at a time. I'm here to be the voice you can rely on for information that is straightforward and comprehensive. Tune in to be a part of the discussion. It all comes with the territory.
Comes with the Territory airs Sundays at 1 p.m. and re-airs at 7 p.m. on WTJX-TV, Channel 12.
Weekday mornings are a juggle, sometimes even a struggle. Morning Edition from NPR News eases you into your day and keeps you company through the chaos of a busy morning. Hear interviews that give you context on the day's biggest stories, along with reporting and updates on the latest breaking news. Stay on top of the world with Morning Edition every weekday.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on WTJX-FM 93.1.